Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me today.
So, Tammy, I am really excited to welcome our special guest to the studio today. I want to welcome, we have Kaiser Law Firm, we have Elizabeth Kaiser and Ryan Hyde. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Very happy to be here today.
So you guys have a specialty in short sales, and this is, you know, our show talks a lot about home ownership. You know, everything around the home is what our show is about. Mm-hmm. And short sales hits pretty close to home because this has been a hot topic. And we actually, in our 3.5 years that our show has been going, have never had a short sale specialist on the show. So we're really excited to have
Very
you guys here.
Very excited.
I think people have a lot of questions around this. So short sales, I think that there are a lot of people out there that may need an explanation of what exactly a short sale means. Could you guys define that for us?
Well, very simply, it's a situation where a homeowner runs into generally a personal or financial hardship where they know going forward they're not going to be able to continue paying the mortgage. A lot of times these homeowners actually do fall behind on the payments before they even decide to take action. But when they do, they come to realize either through their own independent research or by talking to a real estate agent that they actually owe more than the home is worth. So in a lot of situations, those people, they really don't know what to do. And sometimes they think the only thing they can do is just walk away from the home because they can't pay off the mortgage. They can't continue to pay the mortgage.
Right.
But there is another option. And that generally, for many homeowners, is going to be the short sale where they actually get an offer on the property that is below what they owe. Of course, it is in line with the market value, the current market value. And then it's a matter of negotiating that offer with the bank to get them to accept that offer and then hopefully waive the entire remaining balance, the entire deficiency, as we would call it.
So the term short sale comes because the lender, you're asking the lender to take a payoff that's short of the full balance.
Yes, essentially that's what it is. Yes.
Okay. All right. And is this something that's a pretty common occurrence?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there are a lot of programs through the, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the FHA, VA, and even some of the private investors where they have it set up where they will, as a matter of policy, accept a short sale offer and then negotiate, in a lot of instances, a full waiver of deficiency where that homeowner, you know, say owes $250,000, gets an offer at 180. Of course, you've got closing costs. Those come out. And the lender, the investor, will waive that remaining amount on the loan, accept that offer as a full payoff, and allow that person to move forward.
Well, that's a lot of information, and a lot of people are intimidated by that whole process. So, Elizabeth, when you start, is this your family-owned law firm, your own?
Yes, Tammy.
Okay. So when did that all start? How did that all come together?
That actually started back in 2007. I was a claims attorney for Fidelity National Financial, which is underwriters.
Okay.
And as a claims attorney, we would file quiet title actions and clear title. Also, when the market was crashing and the real estate market was going through a severe recession, some people actually say the real estate economic segment was in a depression, which I'm
right.
kind of the believer to, I would fly to Chicago a couple times a month just helping Fidelity just to stay afloat to issue coverage letters.
Okay.
It was kind of the wild, wild, wild west back then. Not much to guide us on. Not really any case law policies or guidelines. So as Ryan just mentioned, short sales are very common today, mm-hmm. and there is a system. There was not a system back then.
Got it.
There was really nothing to guide us. I personally own some property in Naples, Florida as an investment property.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a vested interest on really keeping on top of the market. And fortunately, my partners and I and my family, we sold that property prior to the Titanic going straight up and down, January of 2008.
Good time to jump off the ship.
That's right. That's right. We were very, very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. And so I just became, I guess you might want to call it morbidly fascinated with the mm-hmm. real estate market at the time.
Right.
Somebody had mentioned to me, he was actually my law partner. He said, you need to look into short sales. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Right. I connected with an attorney who was a friend of his in New York. Who was doing short sales on the East Coast. They were mm-hmm. doing them quite frequently. And long story short, he and his wife and I started this together. I started approaching some of the largest real estate brokers in St. Louis. And it was very granular. Mm-hmm. It was very grassroots, saying, I think this is what we need to do. We learned it. And it was just a crazy, crazy time. The realtors really didn't know what to do with, you know, 30% of their listings were now upside down. They had
right.
no idea.
Right.
Not to only just negotiate with the banks. That's not what they're trained to do. But they had no idea what to do with the deficiencies. And they were getting right. into, you know, some pretty serious negotiations that would affect these people's lives forever.
Exactly.
And so it just, it grew mm-hmm. and grew. And now we are today, things are still kind of the Wild West, but not as crazy.
Right.
And we do have systems and policies and guidelines to guide us.
That's awesome. And you guys, do you just operate in the St. Louis area or do you go all around?
Tammy, we're in the, primarily right now, we're in the greater St. Louis area, mm-hmm. also the Metro East. So we go
okay.
into Illinois. We're licensed
okay.
in both states.
Good to
and
know.
What's exciting, as of about a year ago, we started expanding into Chicago in a very serious way. And we're going to be in Chicago. In fact, October 8th, we were
nice.
Re-invited back as one of their keynote speakers at one of the largest realtor boards in Chicago.
That's great.
And we have a business developer, in fact, two of them in Chicago. So mm-hmm. we're entering our services in a big way to Chicago. Chicago is basically where St. Louis was 4 years ago. They're
right.
the sixth worst in the nation in terms mm-hmm. of negative equity. And Rockford, which is just a little bit west of Chicago, is the second worst of the nation.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yes.
There are a lot of underwater homes there.
Yes, yes, tens of thousands.
And what is it that causes one area to be different from another?
You know, that's a very good question. I like to think it's because they didn't have us, but but that's probably patting ourselves on the back a little bit too much. You know, there's a lot of variables that affect the real estate market, and I'm not quite sure why Chicago has so much negative equity, but there's a map produced by CoreLogic. CoreLogic is one of the sources of data and information we get mm-hmm. our data from.
Right.
And
one actually, of the best, really one of the best mm-hmm. sources.
It is.
The
mm-hmm.
premier source for real estate data.
Absolutely. Right. And they produce what they call a heat map. And you may be familiar with that, Doug, with your mortgage expertise. And it shows that Chicago and Rockford and New Jersey are some of the worst areas in the nation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure why they're still in the doldrums mm-hmm. and not, you know, they just have not had that robust recovery like Florida
right.
has.
Right.
But short sales, I think, are around here to stay. They've become mm-hmm. somewhat the new normal when it comes to delinquent mortgages.
Well, and even when the market has completely come back, there are still always going to be some short sales going on.
Exactly.
Yes.
Those hardship situations that I kind of referred to earlier, mm-hmm. the personal circumstances, the
right.
financial circumstances, loss of job,
right.
transfer of employment, divorce, the passing of a spouse, those things are still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
when that happens to someone who's in a position of negative equity, they're underwater,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the short sale becomes the option for that individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and in the end, my advice to them was a short sale because they were a situation where they were maxed out on the mortgage, but now they have a major foundation problem. So they've tried to sell their house, and nobody's taking because of this foundation issue. They can't afford to repair it, and I don't know that they're really going to have much choice. They could let it go to foreclosure, but, of course, that's not a great alternative.
Right.
So short sale is the best alternative for them.
No, I'm not sure either Elizabeth or Ryan, but how does the short sale affect someone's credit? And that could be you too, Doug.
That's that's a really good question, Tammy. And it's actually something I feel very passionate about. I think there's an overemphasis on one's FICO,
mm-hmm.
which is that, you know, 3-digit number that's all tied
mm-hmm.
to our social numbers.
Exactly.
We all have one, whether
right.
we like it or not. And I do think that there's overemphasis on that because there's so much more than just FICO.
Mm-hmm.
The primary and the biggest way that a short sale or a foreclosure affects one's credit
right.
is the ability to get into a new home,
right.
finance a new home.
Right.
In a foreclosure, they're going to be waiting 5 to 7 years
right.
to be able to finance that new home.
Mm-hmm.
In a short sale, they can get into a new home as early as 1 year.
Wow.
Depending on the circumstances,
yeah.
depending on the
so
investor.
So they get you right away, they're good to go.
It's mm-hmm. really, really important. Now, you know, in some situations, if they don't do certain things right, play
mm-hmm.
their cards right, restore their credit, it may take longer.
Right.
But
that's true. That's
but
true.
The bottom line is that when you've got a foreclosure on your credit history, it is going to be 5 to 7 years
right.
before you can finance another
right.
home. Another area that credit has affected, Tammy, is with security clearance.
Mm-hmm.
That affects the ability to keep one's job. In some mm-hmm. situations, you may have a job tied to security clearance, and if you suffer a foreclosure, that might breach that security clearance, which is a condition to keeping your job.
Okay.
Well, we know one
point.
Of the things that causes short sales is frequently a job loss. So
yes.
now all of a sudden, you let your house go to foreclosure, and it may not just be security clearance on your current job, but it may affect applying for the next job.
Mm. Very good point, Doug. In fact, that was you stole the words out of my mouth, because it can preclude those opportunities for certain positions
wow.
if they have a foreclosure on their record. And then all the other, I think the common knowledge, of course, is interest rates and the ability to get credit. And, you know, one of the American dreams, of course, is to own your own business. And typically you need a business loan or some kind of seed capital.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of hard to get a business loan when you have foreclosure on your record.
Right.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give a personal story with this, because I was faced with that situation when I was going through a divorce, and went through a divorce right during the bottom of the market. And I didn't have any choice that, you know, we had to sell the house, and it had plummeted in value. And it was just the absolute worst timing to have to sell. And there was no choice at that point but to short sell it. So I personally had to go through it. And fortunately, because it was a short sale versus a foreclosure, okay, my credit was, you know, tanked during that whole situation, and I went from a 466 credit score at the bottom to a 715 in 24 months, and was able to buy a house.
Wow.
The house that Tammy and I live in today, I was able to buy literally 24 months later, qualified for a conventional loan.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's amazing. That's a great story.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great story. We need that testimony on our website,
Dan. Well, it definitely is a testament to the fact that if I would have let it go to foreclosure,
right,
there would have been all kinds of other issues that would have come from it. Not only would I not be buying 24 months later, but it's likely that my mortgage license would have been in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's something that I had to supply all kinds of documentation to prove that it was a short sale versus a foreclosure.
And actually, you mentioned a good point, because usually divorce is an automatic hardship eligibility. And like in law, we'd call it prima facie. But if there's a divorce, typically it's an automatic hardship. And there's also non-financial hardships, which we call like relocation. So if somebody gets a job relocation, then the banks will consider that a hardship, but it's a non-financial. So technically on paper, they can afford actually to pay two mortgages. But the lenders and the investors know that it's only a matter of time before that homeowner continues paying two mortgages when they've turned the page and now they live possibly 1,000 miles away.
Right. Right. We know that that's not realistic.
That's right.
And so, Tia, if you guys have time to stick around, I have more questions around this, because there are a lot of intricacies of short sales and when they're appropriate, when they're not. We're talking with Elizabeth Kaiser and Ryan Hyde from Kaiser Law Firm about short sales. We're going to continue this conversation when we return. You listen to the Doug Haldeman Show and FM News Talk 97.1.